views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Tuesday. You know, before we get started, I want to remind everybody that TrueProtein.com, a sponsor of Superhuman Radio, has a coupon code for discount on the Superhuman Radio website. It's SH Radio. If you are ordering from TrueProtein.com, I'd appreciate it if you use that coupon code because that's how they track us. They track their advertising by that coupon code. And obviously, you get between a 5 and a 10% discount depending on the size of your order. When you use that coupon code, remember, when you order from TrueProtein.com, use the coupon code SHRADIO. Okay. We did a show not too long ago that I really didn't think was going to be very popular. It was about pet nutrition and supplementation, and we did that with Dr. Peter Rouse. And ironically, two things occurred. I got a lot of emails about that show saying that it was a great show, and there was a lot of stuff we didn't get to cover that we're going to attempt to cover today with Dr. Rouse. Are you there, Peter?
Yeah, Carl, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Good.
And then later in the show, we've got Brooks Kubik on talking about real-world strength standards. We're going to go back in time to the 50s before drugs and look at how strong humans were and try to use that as a template or a model for setting goals. So that's the second hour of the show. Peter, when we did this show originally, I know that you had received a lot of emails also with follow-up questions about pet nutrition and pet supplementation. Did you not?
Yeah, I did actually. And even on your Facebook page, there was quite a few questions and remarks there as well.
It's amazing. I did that show originally thinking that there would be a small select group of people that would be interested in this kind of information. I was amazed by the number of people who posted on Facebook pictures of their dogs eating whole raw chicken, chicken legs, chicken thighs, and as a result of that show, people were starting to feed their pets raw foods.
Yeah, it's definitely made a big difference in the state of the health of the animals too. Eating these more raw foods and more natural diet that they normally would actually consume. So hopefully, we can actually turn a few more people around today.
Well, I want to clarify something too, because one young lady, and I just can't remember her last name, and I apologize. I want to say it's Amanda Womack, or I apologize if I'm getting your name wrong. You can smack me when you meet me. But she had she has a puppy, and he had a drumstick in front of him, a raw chicken drumstick, and someone commented, "You better watch out. He doesn't swallow the bone; it can get caught in his throat." And I posted on that Facebook entry, and I said, "Who's warning baby wolves to spit out the bones?" And you pointed out during the show that it's only when you cook chicken, for instance, that the bones become splintery and brittle. And this is when they become a problem. But when they're raw, animals are quite capable of chewing them and swallowing them.
Yeah, I've got actually Nikita next to me right now chewing on one. So, it's one of the best things for them. We're talking about before, cleaning their teeth and everything, not needing to do that because one, they're eating these bones and stuff, which naturally act as, almost like a toothpick for cleaning out their teeth, naturally. And also, all the goodness within the bone, of course, as well, especially the marrow. I mean, I think that's one of their favorite part is the marrow itself.
I think that's why they chew the bones. They chew the bones to get all that juice and suck the marrow out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Nikita loves the marrow, just goes crazy over it.
And also, as we talked about, as you just pointed out, there's now a new trend for people to start flossing their dog's teeth. Well, the reason that this is essential in this day and age is because the dog food out there, which is basically grains and vegetables and stuff that dogs don't eat. Interestingly enough, there's a new, obviously because people are becoming more aware about nutrition and its role in health and people love their pets, people are looking for answers for pet foods. And as we've talked about on this show, and we're going to talk about today, the best thing you could do is go make friends with your butcher and start feeding your animal scraps of raw meat, raw chicken, and so on, because this is what they were designed to eat before we domesticated them. But only time animals need treatment for their gums is when all they eat is kibble food and fake food and canned food. I mean, this is the stuff that destroys their teeth. Dr. Francis Pottinger showed this with cats.
Yeah, I mean, in his book, they surely, you know, saw over a matter of only a few generations, the degeneration of the actual species itself, you know, the actual breakdown of their health to a point where they're unable to breed anymore. And that's what we're seeing in humans as well. So I think we're looking at, pet food or diets, but, you know, it kind of reflects on what's happening with us as well, eating all this processed food. So, it goes both sides. You know, we should be looking after what we're eating, but also what our animals are consuming as well.
Interesting, I want to get your opinion on something. There's a new company out called there's a new product out called Innova, Innova. It's supposed to be a all natural pet food made with obviously cooked chicken, beef, and so on. And it says it says there's no wheat in it, no corn in it, and no soy in it. It says it's made with grains. So what grains are they talking about? Are they talking about barley and spelt instead of wheat?
Maybe. Did it say no rice? Rice is often a filler they use.
I believe it does. I have the article here. Hold on a second. I'll look real quick. I've
got the website up in front of me right now.
Yeah, Elisa pulled the article out for me. It says, made with real fruits and vegetables, quality protein sources, and whole grains. Never contains meat byproducts, corn, wheat, or soy. So it may have rice in it.
Or actually, does it say wheat? Did it say?
It says no wheat or soy, but it does say it has whole grains.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Maybe whole grain could be coming from, as you say, the spelt or something else, but it's definitely not suitable for animals.
Okay, so here's my point. Here's my point. When I used to hunt deer, we used to encounter coy dogs, which is a combination between a domesticated dog and a coyote. Because obviously domesticated dogs get loose in the Adirondack Mountains and they survive and then they mate with coyotes and they produce these coy dogs, which is like a breed between a wolf and a coyote, if you will. And I don't think I ever, and I've seen coy dogs run down and attack a deer at least several occasions. I have never, ever seen a coy dog, while running after a deer, become distracted by a farmer's wheat field in the distance and go, why should I chase this deer when I can go after that wheat? It's standing still, and I'll just eat that. Dogs don't eat grains. I mean, maybe they do if they're starving and there's nothing else to eat. But wild animals aren't going to chase grains. They're going to chase other animals.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, looking at the evolution too, you know, I don't think dogs ever sat down and actually cooked their food either.
Well, we do know that they play poker. I've seen that painting of the dog sitting around the poker table, so we know that.
And smoke.
And they do smoke cigars, that's right. Yeah. At least that's what people want them to do. All right, yeah, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so obviously this company here, Innova, is trying to capitalize on those people out there who want to treat their pets healthier, but are confused about what animals are supposed to eat. And I would submit to you that before you spend your money, waste your money on Innova, again, go to your butcher and buy scraps of meat, scraps of chicken, and feed this to your dog before you feed them this stuff, Innova, because dogs don't want fruit and vegetables, in my humble opinion.
No, I'm just actually looking at the ingredient list on there. And, for example, cat food, we talked about cats being pure carnivores.
Right.
And the list of ingredients is not pretty. They have brown rice. That's what they may be talking about, whole grain.
Right.
They've got carrots, potatoes, apples, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of what's in there. They do say they have chicken, turkey, chicken broth, whole eggs, chicken meal, herring. I mean, why are they mixing all the different animal products together in one thing too? That's kind of something I don't understand either. As we discussed before, you want to feed the animal the same animal in one meal rather than mixing them up. So don't give them fish and, you know, chicken or whatever.
Well, let's
else.
Face it. They don't eat that way. A dog doesn't run down a rabbit and then go, you know what tastes good with rabbit? Chipmunk. I'm going to keep the rabbit over here. I'm going to go find a chipmunk because I want to eat chipmunk with my rabbit tonight. You know, this is a perfect example of how we humans superimpose human characteristics and feelings on our animals. We think to ourselves, oh, it has apples. I love apples. I bet apples are good for dogs. That's how people think.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, actually looking more down this list here, there's quite a few chemicals in this. You know, they're marketing this as being a natural, healthy, very, you know, green, organic type product or whatever, but and the website kind of comes off that way, but it's no better than any of the other crap that's out there on the shelves in the supermarket.
Yeah, I agree.
It's actually probably worse than some of the ones I've seen.
All right, let's do this. We've gone a little bit longer in this initial segment. Let's go ahead and take our commercial break now. When we come back, we're going to start to build a show based on the questions that we received from many of you after the first show we did on pet health, pet supplementation, pet diet. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver-safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I want to remind everybody that Orbit Nutrition is blowing out PES's Anabeta product for $29.99 a bottle. Go to orbitnutrition.com today and check it out. My guest this hour, Dr. Peter Rouse. We're talking about pet diets, pet supplementation. People spend tens of thousands of dollars, a year feeding and caring for their pets. Let's face it, they do that because they want their pets to be healthy. They want their pets to live long. Otherwise, they wouldn't do that. They would just leave them in the backyard and let them eat dirt. But these companies out there, like this new one, Inova, are just preying on people who want to take good pet care, but they're not, because this stuff is just like all the other kibble food out there. It's not what your dog or cat would eat if they were given free choice and they were in a natural environment. You know, what's interesting, we talked about this on the first show, for those who may have missed the first show. This idea that cats love fish, I don't know where it came from. But when's the last time you saw a lion or a tiger wade into water and catch a trout? I mean, they'll run down an antelope any day of the week. As I know, maybe I'm wrong about this. Is it a fallacy that cats are afraid of water, Peter?
Depends on the breed of cat. Like we've got an American Shorthair, which they're kind of bred to hunt on the ships and stuff like that. They originally came over on the Mayflower, so they're a little bit more used to the water. But in general, most domesticated cats don't like the water whatsoever.
So where did this illusion that cats love fish arise? Is that all from the pet food marketing industry?
I actually don't know where it started from, but I mean, thinking about it, maybe it was a very cheap option for the pet food market because of the fact that, you know, using all the fish scraps, they're not using the good part of the fish. They're using all the scraps. And that's one way to basically sell off the scraps. Otherwise, it would have been thrown away. So, from looking at it as a financial position, it's a great way to kind of sell something that's unsellable.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I mean,
so that's where I think it probably would originate from if you look at, you know, the same thing they've done in with the human nutritional market as well.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's discuss. We did not cover all of the pet supplementation last time. Is that correct?
No, but do you want to cover some of the questions first?
Yeah.
Okay. There was one question I had was I forgot to mention this. You know, like looking at budget-wise, it can be very expensive, you know, if you're looking at the way we feed our animals with organic and trying to go as naturally as possible. Something that we give to the dog, anyway, this is for Nikita, is the chicken feet that we've been giving her, and she's been loving that. Yeah, you got your bone in there, you got some of the little bit of meat and flesh and stuff on there, and that's kind of a really good cheap option as well for people to give them, you know, some at least a better option that's well within their budget.
And chicken feet is a delicacy in Asia, right?
Yeah. Not my favorite. I mean, it's just a pain in the butt to eat.
Oh, they're gnarly. There's very little meat on them, right?
Yeah, very little. Usually, when I've eaten them, I just crush them up and eat the whole thing, the bone and all. But, with the dog, I mean, we're talking about the bone before, so we give them, make sure they're raw, of course, not cooked. But,
right.
She just, munches on them, and she really enjoys them. So that's kind of
That tells you something right there. If they're enjoying them, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
And I think that the real answer here is sourcing more than anything else. If you take a little time to find a local butcher, and I'm sure every city still has a couple traditional butchers left, or even go to the butcher at the grocery store that you shop at. Just go in the back and say, look, I want some scraps for my animal. You know, how do I go about getting that? Some of them will say they're not allowed to give it away, you know, because they're afraid people will eat it. So then you say, well, where do you throw this stuff away? And they'll say, well, there's a dumpster out back just for the meat. Go in the dumpster and grab it that way if you want to. Or take your dog there and just throw some of it on the floor and let him eat it. That's all.
Yeah, it's going to be a damn lot better than the pet food that you're talking about.
I know.
Earlier, the,
I know.
Inova.
I know. And don't worry about your dog getting sick from eating, you know, raw meat that hasn't been refrigerated in a day, because trust me, in the wild, if that animal came upon, you know, a deer that had been killed 2 days before and is slightly bloated and starting to turn green, they would find some good meat on that carcass to eat before they would walk past it.
Yeah, and as we talked about before, they'd be going for the organ meat first.
Right, right.
Yeah. One of the other questions I had related to also the type of vegetables you'd give your dog, and giving your vegetables to your dog. Did you see that question? I'm not sure if that was an email.
Yeah,
or
it was.
Facebook.
What vegetables can you feed? And I mean, I'm under the impression that really vegetables are not necessarily in a dog's diet unless the dog is starving in the wild. Maybe he'll turn to that sort of stuff. Am I correct on that, or am I wrong?
Well, they wouldn't go out and actually eat raw vegetables off the ground, but what they're consuming is from the stomach of the animal that they've killed. They'll eat some of the vegetables from there. And that's where it gets interesting, is how I prepare, or, you know, how you'd prepare the vegetables if you want to give them, you know, a vegetable base. Is never give them raw vegetables if you can avoid that.
Right.
Because of the fact that they're unable to digest it anyway.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about last time, you know, using a pancreatic enzyme. What you can do is pre-digest it, mash it up, you know, don't cook it. You could lightly cook it. Even lightly cook is okay, some of the vegetables. But then you mash them up a little bit and then add some of the pancreatic enzymes to it, and that way you got it pre-digested as if it was almost like in the stomach of an animal.
Yeah, but my first choice is not to feed your animal vegetables. I mean, that would be my first choice. If you're feeding your animal vegetables, ask yourself why. Do you think you're
not the cat? But the dog actually do naturally eat some small amount.
Do they? They forage, in other words?
No, they eat it from the stomach, from the animals.
Oh, no, I got you from that. Yeah, okay. So you're trying to replicate that true primal diet by even giving them some pre-digested vegetables that they would find in the bellies of some of the animals that they would kill.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't even have to be that much, too. And, you know, it's a very minimal amount that you actually really require, because, again, here's another cheap option for meat is tripe. You know, that's another cheap option you can look at giving your dog or your cat even.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of portions of the animal that are wasted, that are thrown away, that generally find their way into hot dogs, quite frankly. So those of you who love hot dogs, what's that?
Or in the Chinese menu.
Yeah, there you go. Stuff that you can't tell what it is because it's diced up so small. But yeah, I mean, you could find those components of the animal when they're eviscerated that they're not selling to humans to eat, and you can feed your animal that. But you gotta be prepared. It is expensive to feed your animal properly, just like it's expensive to eat on your own properly.
Yeah, it can be. But at least with the pet food, you can kind of be a little bit more open to different sources and maybe things that you would think would be disgusting. Like, as I said, you know, many people kind of get put off by chicken feet, even though it's a delicacy in Asia. And even looking at tripe and some organ meats, people won't even try, but the animals love that stuff. So, and often that stuff is a lot cheaper. So that could be a good way to go.
Did you get many questions about cats? I know we have a lot of cat lovers out there.
Yeah. I think we covered a lot more of the cats on the first show rather than dogs. That's why, I think more of the questions were towards some of the dogs. But,
right.
One of the questions I actually got, this was by email, was bathing the cat. And I think that's kind of somewhat important these days, because you got to think about the cat can pick up a lot of toxins in the environment onto the fur. And of course, how they clean themselves is by licking. And so they're actually digesting a lot of these environmental toxins. People don't think about this. So I think bathing a cat is actually important these days, only because of that. I don't think it's a natural thing to do, of course, because they actually would clean themselves. But because of the fact that they're surrounded by these toxins in the environment, that they're licking and digesting a lot of the toxins without even, you know, meaning to. We bath our cat, you know, once every couple of weeks or so during the summer. During the winter, probably a little bit less because of, you know, just it's awkward and painful for him because it's so cold around here.
Right, right.
But, you know, washing them every couple of weeks to every month, you know, will help at least, you know, eliminate a lot of the toxins from their fur.
By the way, Elisa just messaged me and said it was Amanda Wolak who posted a picture of her puppy, what appears to be Great Dane, with a drumstick in front of him, a raw drumstick of chicken, ready to chow down on it, that someone posted, make sure he doesn't swallow the bone, it'll get stuck in his throat. So thank you for correcting me on that, Elisa. She's always listening to me and making sure that I get the right information out there, especially since I'm kind of exhausted today. It's the first day I've trained in probably 16 days since I had to go out of town. And I'll tell you, doing breathing squats and plyometric squats and all the other things I do, really exhausting when you're not prepared for it. Let me be the first to tell you. I feel like I can go to sleep now.
Well, it's a hard workout to do when you first day back in the gym, that's for sure.
Yeah, I it's amazing. You know, I mean, I didn't give up much on the weight as far as the weight that I was using normally, but I didn't have the I had the voltage but not the amperage, let's put it that way.
Well, you probably needed a good break anyway from your training for a couple of weeks just to kind of reset.
I didn't. I was just starting to make some great progress. And thank you to Dr. Peter Rouse. I know this has nothing to do with pets, but I got to tell you something. When I got out west, I started holding water. I mean, holding water unbelievably. My wristwatch was fitting tighter. My ring was fitting tighter. My ankles would be swollen by the end of the day like a pregnant woman's ankles. I started to panic. I thought, oh, my God. I hope I don't have a kidney disorder, or worse yet, maybe congestive heart failure is coming on and I don't realize it. And so I haven't been drinking much water at all. I mean, literally, I used to drink at least a gallon of water a day and then some. And I got to the point where I was lucky if I drank the water that was in my coffee in the morning was all I was getting. And so I texted Peter and said, I'm holding water like a freak. My ankles are so swollen, I can't even see them any longer. And he asked me, are you drinking any water? And no, I'm not drinking a lot of water right now. And that's the problem. He said, so sure enough, I've consumed a gallon of water every day for the past 3 days. The water is gone from my ankles. I've lost 6 pounds. It's all water. It's so counterintuitive to think that when you stop drinking water, you start holding water.
Yeah. I mean, people kind of think that they need to kind of, this is one thing we see with shows too. And I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but people come in for bodybuilding shows or fitness shows, you know, they try to drop the water way out before the event, and that's the worst thing they can do, because it actually does actually make them hold water. If they want water deplete, you want to do it maybe, you know, 12 to 16 hours before the event, where you trick the body into letting go of the water because it thinks it's getting a lot of water coming in. But before then, you actually hydrate, you super hydrate.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Dr. Lane Norton, he's a natural bodybuilder. Many of you know who he is. If you've ever seen him step on stage in a natural bodybuilding competition, the guy is so ripped, so striated, he looks like he's made out of mahogany. He will be the first one to tell you he drinks water all the way up to the day of competition, his gallon and a half to 2 gallons of water a day. So I got a funny feeling that if more bodybuilders would experiment with continuing their water consumption all the way up to competition, they could abandon diuretics entirely.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll save a lot of lives too, because that's where people are, you know, are having the effect, side effects. It's not from the steroids or whatever else they're using. It's actually these other accessories they're using, like the diuretics.
Yeah, like Momo Benaziza, he died because of diuretics. Paul Dillette turned into a human statue because of diuretics. I mean, so many bodybuilders have been hospitalized after competitions because of diuretics. There may not be a need for them. The answer may be drink as much water as you have been all along, right up to the day of competition, and cut back the day before, and that's it.
Yeah, part of your problem, too, was flying, too. Whenever you're flying, you know, this water retention is a big issue, especially if you're already dehydrated. So anybody who's looking at flying, you know, maybe even look at water loading before you fly.
Yeah. Let's do this, Peter. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I promise everybody we'll get back on track with these questions about your pets. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Peter Rouse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them
out
today.
If you're opresource.net.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. OPResource.net, your only source for true, effective, and real peptides. Save 25% off their already low, low prices by using the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5. Okay, getting back on track here, talking about our pets. Peter, what about exercise for pets? I mean, I had a hunting dog, and I know that if I didn't work him regularly, he would become very difficult to have around the house. Is working your dog as important for every dog, or just working class dogs?
Every dog. I mean, they're naturally meant to be, you know, exercising naturally in the nature anyway. So, you know, not exercising in per se, but, you know, from just living day to day, hunting, et cetera, you know, there's a lot of exercise involved. So running them around and really making them do some sprinting. And, we've actually got a Siberian Husky. So with her, you know, we're going to be doing sled pulling with her as well. So that's going to really help with, you know, bringing up some good strength in them. Some dogs aren't designed for pulling, so I wouldn't recommend it for all dogs. But there's a lot of stuff you can do with the dogs to get them active. We're kind of lucky that our cat loves to play with Nikita, a dog. So they kind of run around, jumping around on each other all the time. So I mean, that naturally gives them a lot of exercise. One thing I see is a lot of people leave their dogs at home all day, and then they figure that, okay, I'll take them out for a walk and think that's exercise. Walking is not exercise for a dog. It's good that they get out there and get some air, but it's the running they need.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people don't do enough for the running, and I guess they don't want to run themselves, so maybe get a bike and run beside them. Or we're actually lucky, we let her loose in the gym, so we have, you know, a large space there, and she just sprints around the gym like crazy. So, you know, we have that option there available. Take them to a dog park, you know, play with the other dogs. I mean, we've got a neighbor here who we, you know, they got a dog as well, and they play together and they go crazy. And then she sleeps for like 2 hours afterwards because she's so exhausted from playing so much.
Where do you stand on vaccines? You know, when you have to board your dog, they want that Bordetella vaccine. They, you know, there's all these different vaccines. What do you think about vaccines for dogs? You feel the same way as you do about vaccines for humans?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, there's a good book called Stop the Shots, and it's actually about vaccinations for pets and how they're killing our pets. It's by John Clifton. So, you know, it's a very cheap little book that you can get on Amazon probably for about $5-$10 or something, but it actually gives you all the insight into there. You write about a lot of the kennels do require them to have all their vaccines, and you've got to take in the paperwork to prove it as well. We're lucky we get someone to stay here with animals whenever we're away. So, I'd rather go that way. And if you can find someone to house sit for you, that'd be the best option anyway.
Yeah, but that's hard to do. I mean, most often that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is, but it's probably worth it. I've heard so many horror stories of animals dying while they're in a kennel. It's amazing how many stories I've heard about that.
Really?
It's shocking that, you know, they've died from unusual, unknown causes.
Wow. I don't have a lot of experience with kennels, so I don't know.
I've heard so many stories. It actually scares me to actually even think about putting her in a, you know, putting our dog into a kennel for that period of time.
Are they dying because of mistreatment, or are they dying because of exposure to other pets with illnesses?
Well, sometimes we don't know, because some of the cases, one woman was telling me that they still don't know how the dog died. They actually cremated the dog before they even got back from holiday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's
the pretty bad practice if you ask me. So, you know, often the cases, they try to get rid of the evidence, I guess. But this is not the first – it's not like one or two cases I hear of. It's a lot of cases I hear of.
Yeah. Is that the dog – I hear the dog in the background right now. Is that the dog crying in the background?
Yeah, she's waiting to go out. We're about to leave at 10 o'clock, so she kind of knows that we're getting ready to go. So she's kind of excited to go.
Now, do you take your dog with you on appointments and stuff like that?
Yeah, she comes to the gym. Both animals come to the gym every day. So the cat and the dog spends every day with us all day.
And so how's the dog? I mean, cats are pretty self-sufficient. How is the dog around people when they're training? Does she come up, or does he come up and want to play, or does he know to keep his distance, or what?
She's still a pup. She's pretty good when they're training. When they're lying on the floor doing their stretches and stuff, she loves to come up and cuddle with them. She's a very, very, very affectionate dog. She's like super affectionate. So anybody who comes in the door, she's like all over them. So, yeah, she's getting better, much, much better. So, yeah, and the clients actually love her anyway. So they love having her around. We're trying to teach them not to do that as they're lying on the floor, but they actually encourage her to do that because they actually kind of – they're the ones propagating it.
You're right.
But, yeah, I think if you have the option to take your animals to work. Some workplaces are dog-friendly. We have a production studio next to us who I know allow their dogs, you know, bring dogs to work. And I see them walking their dogs too. And, you know, so, you know, if your workplace is dog-friendly, definitely take your dog to work rather than locking up at home all day.
Think about this? You know, I know, and I mean to cut you off, but before we go into the break, I want to ask you this question. It's very common when you take your pet into a pet shop, I mean a veterinarian, that at some point in time, the doctor will want to express the dog's anal gland. You know what this is?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've had several veterinarians, I've owned dogs most of my life, and I've had lots of veterinarians say, we need to express the dog's anal gland. And I would say, no, it doesn't seem natural. Who's sticking their thumb up a dog's rectum in the woods and expressing their anal gland? It doesn't make sense to me. And also, I've heard rumors that once you start expressing a dog's anal gland, you have to continually do it because it doesn't function on its own any longer. What are your thoughts on this process that lots of veterinarians will want to do for pet owners?
Well, they're creating work for themselves, aren't they? By doing that, as you say, that does eventually shut down the body's, you know, the dog's body ability to express. So, you know, by doing that, they're actually creating more work for themselves. I think, I don't want to go against all veterinarians. I've actually met a couple of really good ones, but in general, most of the marketplace out there, most vets are pretty poorly trained. Probably as poorly trained as the general practitioners out there.
What is the purpose of expressing the anal gland? What the anal gland is, the scent in a dog? Is that what that is?
Yeah, they're trying to basically, you know, if you get a buildup in there, it can become toxic. But, right. I mean, the dogs are expressing naturally anyway. You go out and you take the dogs out for a walk. I mean, maybe if they're staying at home all day and they don't get outside, they may not, you know, express it. But if you're doing that, maybe you shouldn't be having a dog if you can't get outside once a day. So, you know, taking the dog out once a day, you know, is enough for them to express a sense, you know, how they spray on different things. And, you know, they're always expressing when they go outside.
Well, I have a theory on this, too, that actually comes back to pet nutrition. I mean, the way we talked about pet nutrition leading to healthy gums and teeth in dogs.
Yeah, I mean, nutrition is everything.
The anal sac is actually at the exit, if you will, or right at the right on the inside of the anal wall of the dog. And when you feed a dog, it's actually at the bottom, if you will. When a male dog, it's between the testicles and the anus. If you feed a dog a kibble diet, their stool becomes mushy like clay. But if you let a dog eat a natural diet, you'll find that their stool is hard. And I got a feeling that mushy stool does not push against the anal gland and cause it to secrete its fluids as readily. And I have a feeling that these backed up anal glands in dogs have more to do with, once again, the diet that they're eating.
I think that's a pretty good theory too. We definitely notice the stool differences when we go out. I mean, people are meant to be picking up after themselves, of course, but you do see, you know, a lot of the stools are pretty messy.
Yeah.
Put it politely.
You know, if you've ever hunted, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. If you've ever come upon a dog stool in the wild, you'll notice that it is like compressed gumballs. It's got a shape like a regular turd, but it's made of little round pieces of poop that are all pushed together. It's not this oozing doughy like mass like dogs poop now. When you see dog poop on the street, it's like mush.
Well, dogs in the wild don't poop.
What's that?
You see that dominantly with a lot of carnivores.
There you go. When you see dog stool in the wild, it's hard, it's firm looking, mm-hmm. and it's like compressed gumballs. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, also feeding them grains is going to actually cause an unnatural balance in the gut ecology. So you're actually going to develop a lot of bad bacteria in the gut, and promote it.
Right. Right.
Which causes a whole lot of health issues, you know, from inflammation, weakened immune system. The list goes on and on with what happens when you alter the gut ecology.
People need to start finding ways to feed their dog raw animals. I mean, raw chicken, raw beef, raw turkey, raw bison, whatever you can find that's inexpensive. You need to start doing it if you really care about your dog. If you don't believe this, look up the works of Dr. Francis Pottinger. He was a scientist who researched this in cats. And he showed that when you fed cats cooked foods and pasteurized milk, they became sickly looking, their organs became misshapen, the color of their skin changed, their litters went down, and when they did have litters, they all looked, every kitten looked different. They were all like mutts. Cats that ate raw meats and raw and pasteurized milk and raw fish, their kittens all looked the same. There was homogeneity in the litters. They had more litters more frequently. And when they died and were eviscerated, their organs, their skin, everything was a beautiful color of pink and the organs had the right shape and they were in the right place. If you don't believe what we're saying, look up the works of Dr. Francis Pottinger. He did this work in the 20s. There's pictures. There's pictures that you can look at, so it's not just us saying it. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I was just corrected on something, Peter. The anal glands or anal sacs are on either side of the dog's rectum. At the bottom, it's sort of at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, if you will. And interestingly enough, this is such a common problem. Such a common problem that... Sorry about the music, Peter. I'm just turning it off. This is such a common problem in pets that just about every dog needs to have their anal sacs what's expressed by a veterinarian at some point in their life. I'm just wondering who's doing this to all the wild dogs. Who's going out there in the woods and expressing all the anal sacs of wild dogs? That's what I'm curious about.
So maybe they're doing it to each other.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's it. They have an anal sac expressing party once in a while, and everybody gets together. You know, it just baffles me why people don't ask these questions to themselves. It's like, why does my dog need to have his teeth flossed? Who's flossing wolves' teeth? Why does my dog need to have, you know, his anal sac expressed? Who's Who's doing that for dogs in the wild? You know, these are questions that people need to be asking, because what it comes down to is you'll think to yourself, well, wait a minute. No one is doing this to dogs in the wild. Why do I have to do it to my dog? What is the difference between my dog or cat and a dog and cat that live in the wild? And it comes down to what they're eating. Dogs and cats that live in the wild don't have can openers, so they're not eating canned food. They don't have frying pans. They're not cooking their food. Clearly, they don't have bags of kibble and cars to drive to PetSmart to buy, you know, all these scientifically formulated diets. No, they're eating squirrel meat. They're eating chipmunks. They're eating rabbits. Some of the bigger dogs are eating deers and possum and stuff like that. And they're healthy as can be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't see the health problems that, you know, most domesticated dogs are having these days when they eat a natural diet. It's just not seen. I've actually talked to a couple of vets about this, and, you know, everybody's coming in feeding their dogs unnatural diets, and that's why they are having 99% of these health issues. I mean, people complaining about the cost of feeding their dog or animals or cats, you know, good food. Think about how much you're going to add up on vet bills, especially by the end of their lives. They get cancer. What are you going to do? You know how much cancer treatment is for animals? It's not cheap. This isn't, you know, can potentially be in the tens of thousands of dollars. You're better off spending a little bit of that money over their lifetime, you know, giving them some really good quality food so they don't end up getting cancers and other diseases that are, you know, are slowly killing them and costing you a lot of money and making the vets a lot of money.
Well, you also have to ask yourself this question. If you're not prepared to handle these types of expenses, should you really get a pet in the first place? You know, this is a perfect example of this problem. Back in the day, a dog would get loose, a cat would get loose, and next thing you know, you'd have a litter. So the movement was to spay and neuter your cat or your dog. So the dogs have absorbed the cost, if you will, and the cats have absorbed the cost, if you will, of irresponsible humans. Because you can't keep your cat or your dog in the house, and it is able to go out and mate. That cat or dog has to have organs removed from its body so it can accommodate you. I mean, I'm totally opposed to spaying and neutering animals. Any more than I am opposed that all newborn boys have their testicles removed and all newborn girls have their ovaries removed. It's not natural for dogs and cats to lose those sex hormones at a very young age. It's just not.
I'm totally with you on that one.
You are too.
Well, kitty cat's still got his sacks, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So he's actually not being fixed at all. One problem people have with cats is, and this is where we're very lucky, I don't know how we managed to do this, so anybody ask me how we do this, I don't know. He doesn't spray. I mean, one of the issues people have is they spray around the house a lot. But he hasn't sprayed since day one, so I don't know, maybe it may be to do with more natural environment, being in a happy environment. Maybe they don't spray in their natural
environment.
But
you know what it comes down to? This is part of what's wrong with this country today. Everybody wants everything to fit their way of doing things. No one wants to come up and fit the way things need to be done. The idea that you have to spay and neuter your cat or dog so it doesn't get pregnant is just an indication that you are not ready to own a cat or dog, in my humble opinion. I'll give you a perfect example. I knew a woman who was a therapist, one of the most sought-after psychologists in Los Angeles, who had a toy Yorkie, and she had it debarked because she didn't like to have to listen to it bark. I mean, just think about that in human terms. It's like, you know, I hate hearing my kids whine and complain. I think I'll have their vocal cords removed.
And they do that with claws, too. They declawing animals, which is just... Actually, if you see how they do it too, there's a couple of YouTube videos. It's actually very, very cool, just the process itself. But then you're taking away one of the nature's, you know, well-designed tools that they have. And it's one of the ways for themselves to protect themselves. It's one way they can use to climb. So you're talking about exercise before. They don't have the claws. How are they going to climb up things to get the exercise?
Right.
Cats do a lot of climbing, and that's one way they get a lot of exercise. So, you know, you're missing out on that. As far as debunking a myth too, you know, a lot of people being told by vets, I think, is one of the biggest ones because they make a lot of money out of this by, you know, de-sexing the animals, is that by de-sexing the animal, you're going to increase their lifespan. That's total BS. It's actually the opposite. If you imagine, if you remove the man's potential to make testosterone, we know testosterone will make you live longer.
Right.
So how is it going to have any different effect?
It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It's all about selling people a concept and giving people license to do something that is unnatural, so that they can say, "Well, I'm doing something good for my dog. They'll live longer. They'll be more docile and easy to handle." They're not supposed to be like that. You know what? This whole notion that everybody needs to own a pet is ridiculous.
I think you got to be a certain type of person to own a pet and take on that responsibility. We've taken on that responsibility fully, and we do everything we can for them. Actually, people think we're a little bit crazy with what we do with our animals, but if you are taking on that responsibility, you got to go to the extreme and really treat them almost as much as your children. They do rely on you, and I think you need to take on that responsibility with everything it comes with too.
You know what? If you own a cow, you have to milk it twice a day. If you own animals, large animals, horses, whatever, they require maintenance. Farmers don't have vacation days. Christmas morning, they have to milk. New Year's morning, they have to milk. And so owning a pet, animal husbandry, as it's known in the commerce segment, owning a pet is a huge responsibility. And if you're not prepared, don't do it. Just don't do it. You don't have to have a cat. You don't have to have a dog if you're not prepared to do the right thing. And clearly, in my humble opinion, I'm totally opposed to spaying and neutering. It's unnatural. It's cruel, in my opinion, to do to a puppy, to remove its sex organs at such a young age. We know that those sex hormones are critical. Just because it doesn't fit into your lifestyle isn't a good enough reason to mutilate an animal. That's my opinion.
With you on that, and I think it's up to the owner to be a lot more responsible and take charge of what the animals are doing. Don't let the cat, our cat's an indoor cat only unless we take him out on the leash, and he loves going out on the leash and walking around and stuff. So, you can do that with a cat. And of course, dogs, if you let a dog out to roam by itself, it's going to get picked up by, the SPCA or something anyway. So you can't do that. I think you just got to be more careful and take responsibility and put, allow time throughout the day to take them out for their exercise and look after them. One more thing I just want to bring up before we finish the show is the something about – this was a question that came to me, was about cat litter.
Right.
This is a big issue because most of the cat litter out there is pretty toxic. And you remember your cats getting this, getting on their paws and licking it, sometimes licking it, but it's usually the fact that they actually – through their pauses that they actually can absorb some of the stuff into their skin. I was talking about their toxins coming from the environment. One of the ways they get toxins from the environment is from this cat litter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I
thought
cat litter was just like calcium chloride, granulated calcium. It's not that, huh?
No, they add a lot of good and crap in it. We actually use a product called World's Best Cat Litter. And they use corn, so at least it's a good use for corn.
Right.
But it's a non-GMO corn. Huh. We made sure that it was a non-GMO corn for starters, no chemicals in its growth either. So it's pretty much, it's not classified as organic because they don't need to classify it as organic because it's not used as a food source.
It. Right, right.
Yeah, but they, this kind of one you want to look at is one with one ingredient and make sure it's non-GMO. The GMO stuff is terrible. That's what you got to avoid. Most of it is all GMO based.
Even if the cat is just pooping and peeing on it?
Yeah. You think about the animals that were, we heard about the stories in India with Monsanto's cotton seeds and stuff. Just brushing up against the plants are giving them reactions.
Yeah, that's right. I did hear about that. Yeah.
So it's the GMO issue is huge. I would avoid it like the plague.
Okay. Because it is like the plague. That's why.
Literally, yeah.
All right, well, listen, if you have any other questions to cover about pets, if we didn't cover them in this particular episode, please email them to onair@superhumanradio.com, and I'll forward them on to Dr. Rouse, and we'll cover them in a later show. Peter, now you're off for a couple days. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going down to Mexico to visit Alicia's parents, so we'll be gone for 4 days.
That's wonderful. Those of you who want to see some of the specially priced products offered to Super Human Radio listeners, go to afperformancecenter.com and click the store button or link and look for the Superhuman Radio section, and you'll see there's a lot of great stuff for you and your pets there that Dr. Rouse sells at cost or near cost just to give you access to it. Peter, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you. And I've got to apologize to some of your listeners, too. A lot of people email me, and I don't always get back to them. I actually literally get about 1,000 emails a day, so sometimes it's a little bit tough, but I do get back to people eventually. So have patience.
Have patience. We'll travel. There you go. All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. All right. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Brooks Kubik on. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We will be right back.
Guess who's back? Back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Just want to mention that Orbit Nutrition's blowout sale on PES's Anabeta is only through Saturday at midnight, today being Wednesday, the 22nd. So it's a very, very brief sale. If you want to get Anabeta at the ridiculously low price of $29.99 a bottle, go to orbitnutrition.com today. My next guest is a fan favorite. Whenever he's on the show, people love it. It's Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Carl, I'm great. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Actually, as I told Dr. Rouse a couple minutes ago, I haven't trained in about 16 days. I went to the gym today for the first time in 16 days. And you know, when you're an old fart like me, even a little bit of time off pushes you back quite a bit. But I did do breathing squats and plyometric squats as my opening move today. But I'm dragging right now. I feel like I could take a nap after the show. But unfortunately,
I'll bet you are. Well, you've had like a busy 10 days or so out in Arizona with your mother, right?
Yeah, it's been and that's another thing. You know, I've been tired from the neck up for about a week. It's just overwhelming. Between trying to juggle, you know, what's going on over there and juggle what's going on over here. And it's just amazing. I could use a lobotomy right now.
Well, at least a good massage or some ART work or something.
There you go.
That's interesting because the old timers always used to talk about nerve force and the neck and the spinal system. And they were always talking about train your neck because it'll increase your nerve force and give you more energy.
Really?
Yeah. And now you're saying, well, you know, I was under this big stress thing. I was traveling, you know, probably not eating your regular foods.
I wasn't drinking water. I started to hold water. I was literally falling apart, like, at a hyper speed.
And yeah.
We're not working out. Right.
Oh. And where you felt it, where you just mentioned it, was the neck.
Yeah, I'm exhausted from the neck up. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't think about that. Anyway, today we want to discuss something that I think is really important. You know, you cannot set goals unless you know what realistic goals are.
Many of us set goals. We believe that, well, if I shoot for the stars, I'll hit the moon. And those are nice axioms to write into to paragraphs of literature. But if you're shooting for a 1,000-pound squat and you're not training for 10 years as a powerlifter and constantly adding weight, it's not realistic to even shoot for a 1,000-pound squat. Shoot for something more realistic. So those of us who are looking to attain strength of superhuman proportions but not necessarily want to shoot for the 1,000-pound squat, for instance, we need to have a target that we can shoot at. And you have a recent blog post that I think just crystallizes this concept. Called Real World Strength Standards. And what you did was, intelligently, you looked at the guys in the 50s before drugs had an influence in strength, before things like lifting shirts, squatting pants, and all these things came into view. These guys were effectively the original raw lifters, if you will. And they paid great attention to form. They were not willing. They were not willing to do a lift if it didn't look right. They weren't going to just say, "Well, I got the weight up. I don't care what it looked like." Now they had strength standards back then, didn't they?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, back then, really up until the 1950s and through the 50s, really the shift came in the 60s. People were not nearly as interested in appearance as strength. And, you know, if you looked strong, that was fine, but you had to be strong, too. You had to back it up.
Right.
You know, Sig Klein, at his wonderful old gym in New York City, they had a very simple standard. This is back in the 20s. Guy walks in the gym. First question they say, they ask him, can you lift 200 pounds?
When you say lift it, where is he lifting it? Overhead?
Press.
Okay.
Lift the bar from the floor to your shoulders. Stand tall, straight up and down, legs locked, no leg kick. Push it overhead with arm power alone, arm and shoulder power. That was the basic strength test back then. They weren't into bench pressing very much. Bench pressing really didn't come into vogue until the late 40s and the 50s. But the stand, you know, the strength test, the one that everybody wanted to excel at, was the press, the two-hand military press.
Right.
And so, you know, that's a very interesting
standard. How did that press get the name the military press, by the way? Any idea?
You were supposed to do it in military form. In other words, as if you were a soldier on parade standing perfectly straight, ramrod straight.
Ah. Okay.
And so there was no back bend. You know, a lot of people, when they think of pressing a weight overhead, they think of leaning way back to do it. Well, that started to come into play in the 50s and the 60s.
And eventually it got so bad that they dropped the press out of Olympic weightlifting competition. But I'm talking about you lift the bar to the shoulders, you stand straight up, you look straight ahead, and you push it overhead.
Right. I can't look straight ahead unless I want to hit myself in the chin. I have to look up.
Well, the bar has to kind of move around your face a little bit. The bar doesn't go straight up. It goes in a little bit of an arc and then straight up once you get over your head.
Right. Okay. All right. So why 200 pounds? I mean, what if a guy was only 115 pounds?
Tough. Get stronger.
Huh. What if? Okay. A 250-pound guy, that's not very impressive if a 250-pound guy is pressing 200 pounds then.
It was a very arbitrary standard.
Okay.
Very, very, very arbitrary standard. But, you know, a lot of the guys who worked out back then, and remember, this is going back to the 1920s, early 30s, a lot of guys who worked out were in the 140, 150, 160 range. And, you know, with training, they were able, if they really worked at it, they were able to hit that 200-pound press.
Right.
It was a heck of a lift, but they were able to do it. Now, the,
Somebody's persistent.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Can't talk. I'm on the line. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. My mom called me during the break. I had to tell her the same thing. So go ahead.
It's the day for that.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I personally do not believe in arbitrary standards other than general guidelines. And by arbitrary standards, what I mean is you have to press 200 pounds or you have to bench press 300 pounds or squat 400 or you know, any magic number. The 300, 400, 500 numbers are very good numbers for a guy of average size, 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", going to weigh maybe 180, 185 when he's packed a lot of muscle on his body.
Right.
A 300-pound bench press, 400-pound squat, 500-pound deadlift. Okay, those are good lifts. And they're good standards, and it's ballpark. It's easy to remember. So I like to say 300, 400, 500. But if you really want to refine this, you have to work off of body weight. I mean, that's the only fair way to do it.
Right.
So the standards on the blog, on the Dynastar Training blog, the post-today real-world strength standards, are tied to body weight. And they apply to anyone at any body weight, whether you weigh 120 pounds, 200 pounds, or 300 pounds.
Why don't we do this? We've gone just a little bit over. Let's go ahead and take our break now.
Okay.
You can return that call. When we come back, we'll talk about the body weight variance in strength standards. We're talking with Brooks Kubik about real-world strength standards for you to set goals for yourself so you can find out if you're really a superhuman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Super Duper Radio, Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Brooks Kubik. I'm a little goofy today. I'm tired. I don't know why I'm so tired. Yes, I do. I haven't been training. I haven't been eating right. It's amazing that if I was in my 20s, it wouldn't affect me this way. But because I'm in my 50s, just a brief time off of not eating right and not sleeping right and changing time zones and not training, not drinking enough water, all those things that I've done consistently for a decade or longer can take such a toll so quickly. Anyway, my guest is Brooks Kubik. We're talking about real-world strength standards that you can set goals for because it's important that your goals be attainable and they be truly attainable human goals. So let's go back to what we were talking about before the break, Brooks. So
sure.
the using body weight as the adjustment or the variable for real world strength standards. Give me a snapshot.
Okay. This is taken from a book called Weight Training in Athletics. It was published in 1956, 1 year before I was born, so that makes it a not very old book at all, I guess. Or old, depending on how old the listeners are.
It's not old to me. I was born in 58.
You got me by 1 year, or else I have you by 1 year.
There you go.
But it's by Jim Murray, who worked with York Barbell, Strength and Health. He was managing editor of Strength and Health magazine for a while in the 50s. And Dr. Peter Karpovich, who's one of the men who, in the scientific community, you know, really was one of the first scientists or professional people who said, yeah, this weight training stuff looks like it's pretty good. So it was a book that came out from two people who knew what they were talking about and had a lot of contact not only with average trainees, in Dr. Karpovich's case, trainees in college and university weight training programs, weight training classes. In Jim Murray's case, he ran a gym, and so they, he saw the gym members. And they also were familiar with some of the strongest men of the era, John Grimmick, Steve Stanko, John Davis, the list goes on and on. I mean, they actually knew and saw lift in competition and lift in training. They saw these men and they knew what weights they could handle. So they put together some really interesting standards that I think have a lot of validity to them. And again, these are 1950 standards, so they're drug-free. There's no
right.
drugs involved.
That's the important thing to take into account here.
Very important. There's no support gear other than a thin leather lifting belt. You don't have a double-ply powerlifting belt. You don't have wraps. You don't have super suits, bent shirts, nothing like that.
Right.
So this is raw lifting. Now, first of all, you know, the first thing that they talked about, because it was on everyone's mind back then, was the two-hand military press with barbell. Again, lift the bar to your shoulders, stand perfectly straight, don't bend your legs, no knee kick, don't bend your back, and lift the weight over your head. They said that one rep, doing that one time, with a barbell equal to your own body weight, was a superior performance.
Okay? So that above, so in other words, above average, superior.
Yeah, that's what they wanted you to, you know, to shoot for, and that's what they told people they could achieve with proper training. A press, a standing military press with body weight. Okay. Then they said, okay, you want to go for more than that? You want to be really strong? Go for 50 pounds over your body weight. And again, this is not a bench press. This is a standing military press with barbell. 50 pounds over your body weight. So if you weigh 185, you're looking at 235. If you weigh 220, you're looking at 270.
Right.
If you weigh 250, you're looking at 300.
Right.
And those are really, really heavy lifts. You're not going to see a lot of people who can do a military press with 50 pounds or more over their own body weight.
Right.
Okay, then they said, you want to go for broke. World class, world champion. Okay, here's what the guys who win world and Olympic weightlifting championships are doing. 100 pounds over body weight.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is a huge weight. That's a 200-pound guy pressing 300 pounds overhead.
Yeah, 250-pound guy pressing almost 350 pounds, almost 400 pounds, let's just say.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about pressing, not bench pressing.
And we're also not no knee thrust at all.
No knee thrust. It's pure arm and shoulder strength.
Right.
And, you know, they had a lot of men who were able to handle 50 pounds or more, and a lot of men who were somewhere between 50 and 100 pounds. And as I said, the top lifters, the champs, were able to do that. So it's physically possible. It can be done. This was accomplished with relatively simple training, limited equipment, what we would consider nowadays is very basic, very simple training programs.
Right.
Diet nutrition was rudimentary. A lot of people didn't even think about it back then. They should have, but they didn't.
Right.
You know, so if you're training with the best equipment that you can find or afford, you know, if you're watching your diet, if you're doing everything that you think you can do, leaving drugs out of the equation, if you're doing everything that you think you can do to maximize your performance, that's what you ought to be shooting for.
So the first step is body weight. The first step is
body weight.
Right. So everybody needs to, I haven't done a military press probably in 7 years because of my shoulders. But you know what? My shoulders are doing a lot better now. I have coaxed them. I use that word specifically. I've coaxed them into being pain-free again. So maybe what I need to do is just get the bar and nothing on it and just start every workout, just go ahead and press the bar and find my groove again.
Well, you could do that. The other thing, frankly, for anyone over 50, maybe even anyone over 40, anyone with shoulder problems, you might want to say, okay, that's a good standard, but I'm going to use dumbbells.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the dumbbells are so much more forgiving on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you really work at it, you can go pretty heavy with dumbbell presses. They build a tremendous amount of power, tremendous amount of strength. Probably you're going to be in the neighborhood of 80 to 90%
of your barbell strength.
Of your barbell strength.
I was just
going to
say, because you're much stronger with barbell because of the what I call the ratchet effect. You don't realize it, but your nerve impulses to your left and right hand are not simultaneous. Your left hand pushes slightly harder for a nanosecond than your right hand and vice versa, and they oscillate back and forth. And this is why you're so much stronger pushing that bar up with both hands than you are with one hand. If you take dumbbells, you can never, you can hardly ever press what you could press with a barbell with dumbbells. And
yeah.
That's because they're, one side is not offering any assistance to the other side, period.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and remember, we're talking about a simultaneous dumbbell press. In other words, both hands going up at the same time.
Right.
Which is harder than doing alternate arms, you know, right, left,
right.
Where you kind of,
right.
You know, you get a bit of momentum going from the up-down movement, and, you know, the arm that's lowering gives momentum to the arm that's rising, so
right.
That's easier. But a simultaneous dumbbell press with two dumbbells, one in each hand, that's really tough. Now, I'm looking as we talk, I'm looking at one of my favorite books, Development of Strength by Harry Paschal. Came out in, I believe, 50 or 52. Again, Harry was someone who knew all the lifters of the era. He was a lifter himself, so he knew what he was talking about. Real simple standard for the listeners. He said, if you weigh 165, in order to be strong, you should press 200 pounds with a barbell, or, pay attention, 80-pound dumbbells. 80-pound
wow.
dumbbells multiplied by 2 is 160, or 80% of 200.
Wow.
So that's an easy measure.
Right, right.
You know, and so what that would mean, you know, Carl, if you weigh 200.
I'm 218. I was 218 this morning. I lost 6 okay. pounds of water weight in the past 2 days.
Okay, well, let's make the math easy. Yeah, you weigh 200. You want to go for that unusual upper body strength standard. So you want to go for 50 pounds over your body weight. That's
right.
250.
Right.
Okay. Well, what's 80% of 250?
Let's see. 160.
200 pounds. 80, okay, 100 pound dumbbells.
Yeah, right. 200 pounds. Right.
Yeah, and that's a heck of a lift. There's a photo of Reg Park from the earlier mid 1950s, looking just, you know, like a gorilla. I mean, just standing there, and he is so huge and so thick and so massive, and he's standing over 200-pound dumbbells. I think they're hundreds or 105s, and he's going to clean and press them and set a British heavyweight record at the time of in the dumbbell press.
Wow.
And, you know, Park at that point probably weighed 230, 235, 240, biggest, thickest, most muscular bodybuilder in the world at that point in time. And so that's what he was doing, and that is the standard that we're talking about.
Right.
So doable, but... Man, you're in good company if you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. We have to take, and a matter of fact, I definitely couldn't do it today because I'm too tired. So I'm not even going to think about it. It makes me tired to think about it right now. Let's put it that way. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with Brooks Cubic. You can learn more about Brooks Cubic by going to his website, BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com. You can read his blog. He always has great things he's blogging about. You can learn more about dinosaur training. Train with the strength of the dinosaurs. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
you. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Breaking my back just to know your name. 17 tracks and I've had it.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that we now have a Superhuman Radio forum, thanks to the folks over at Anabolic Minds. If you go to superhumanradio.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see a link for our forum. You can go there with other Superhuman Radio listeners and commune. There's posts about the shows there. You can ask questions, communicate with each other. It's wonderful. It's just a wonderful love fest over at Anabolic Minds. Check it out. My guest this hour is Brooks Kubik, the keeper of physical culture flame in this day and age, keeping the old guys alive in our memories with his books, his writings, and his discussions. The fathers of physical culture who gave us this great gift that we, every day when we go and touch the iron, we're basically, it's like going to church and praying. It's something that thousands and thousands of people before us have done, and we're doing it. We're carrying it on, just like a religion. It is a religion. To me, it is. And I haven't been to church enough lately. And that's why I'm so tired today, because I went today and the iron beat me up. So there you go.
Yeah. You know, Carl, that's absolutely amazing, because I had a friend who is our age, 53, 54. He said that very same thing to me about 10 days ago.
About it being like a religion, going there and touching the iron?
He said the gym is a sacred place.
It is. It really is. Yeah. I mean, when you think about religion, right? And I don't want to get off track here, but when you think about religion, what is religion? It's based on stories of those who came before us, who carried the torch of this thing of meaning, and we pray the way they did, and we kneel the way they did. Some of you face Mecca the way they did. Everybody, you know, that's what religion is, right? So when you go in and you do a bench press, the way John Grimmick did a bench press, the way Jack LaLanne did a bench press, the way go down the list. They all were in that position. How is it any different than clasping your hands in prayer and kneeling and facing a saint or a crucifix or a Mecca or whatever? So it really is when you think about it. And you know what? And I always feel, I mean, I'm complaining that I'm tired today, and it's just because I'm getting back into the gear.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, mentally and emotionally, I feel fantastic that I made it to the gym today. Probably the same way that a lot of people who are religious zealots feel when they go to church or go to synagogue or go to temple or go wherever, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway. Okay. Now, we talked about the bench press, and you write about the bench press in your blog. The bench press also has a standard to go by, a strength standard to go by, and it's very similar to the overhead press, isn't it?
Yeah, except you're going to be handling more weight in proportion to your body. Well, you're going to be handling more weight because you can handle more weight in the bench press than in the military press.
Right.
So here's the standard, and again, remember, this is 1950s style, so we're talking, you know, totally, completely
drug-free,
raw.
Right.
Drug-free and raw.
Right.
50 pounds over body weight, superior strength in the bench press. 100 pounds over body weight, advanced lifter, and they say, you know what, you ought to be able to get there or get darn close.
Right.
Strongest men in the world, 200 pounds over body weight in the bench press.
Right.
So, again, that's the standard. You want to be really, really strong, you're shooting for 50 pounds over body weight in the bench, then you're shooting for 100, and then you're going to go for broke, you're going to go for 200 pounds. And, you know, that's a pretty darn good lift if we're talking about raw lifting. You know, even in 2011, that's a darn good lift.
Now, those two do make sense. You know, the overhead press, the military press, and the bench press. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why the squat or the deadlift were not included in this.
Well, because they're included in tomorrow's blog post.
Ah, so we have to tune in tomorrow, folks. We'll have to tune in tomorrow to find out what the strength standards for squat and deadlift are. You can go to brookscubic.com, K-U-B-I-K.com, tomorrow or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, and click the blog link and find out what the squat and the deadlift are for the strength standards. What about the curl?
Okay, the curl to me is an interesting one because most people think of the curl as a light pumping exercise. A lot of guys speak disdainfully of the curl. But the fact of the matter is that the curl is a strength exercise. You can get awfully strong on curls.
Right.
And, you know, of course, you don't do only curls, but you work it into a program. It's a very effective exercise. And guys have been really, really, really strong in curling. So the standard, and again, it's based on body weight, this is one rep, two-hand barbell curl, strict form.
No rocking, no leaning forward to meet the bar on the way down, so to speak, you know, I mean, just standing straight, erect, and just taking the bar from where it rests against your thighs and just raising it to the chest.
I'm going to read right off the blog because this is the best I've ever said this, and I've written this hundreds of times.
Right.
We're not talking about cheat curls, swing curls, power curls, or anything else that looks like a walrus trying to do a backflip.
That's good.
I don't know what made me think of walruses this morning. It's kind of scary. But okay, so we're talking about a strict curl. 80 pounds under body weight, one rep, respectable.
Hmm.
50 pounds under body weight, superior. And anything close to your own body weight for one rep in the strict curl would rank you among the strongest men in the world. And I'll tell you what, that's a really high standard. That's a tough lift to approach.
Well, and see, I do that that Vince Gironda curl, as I learned from you. You know, I do that curl where I keep it close to my body.
Yeah.
That wouldn't count, right?
Nope. They're talking about
your arms have to be planted against your side. They don't move. So you're really bringing the bar up in an arc as opposed to a straight line.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's a really tough standard. John Davis, strongest man in the world in his generation, 220-pound body weight, strict curl with 205.
Really?
Jim Park, Mr. America, 195 pounds, curled 190.
Wow.
Yeah. Al Berger, a heavyweight guy with a phenomenal grip. This guy, he could reverse curl, I think, 170 or 180. That's
really?
Reverse curl. Yeah. He could do chin-ups hanging from rafters. You know, one hand on one rafter and one hand on the other rafter, holding them in a pinch grip.
Right, right.
As a heavyweight. Okay, that's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
He could do curls with 180, 190 to 200 pounds. So, again, he's approaching that standard.
Right.
You know, tough standard. But a real power exercise, Doug Hepburn used to do heavy, strict curls a lot. And he really made a science of it. I mean, he wrote a course about it. You know, he told you exactly how to stand. He liked doing something interesting. He would use two boxes, heavy wooden boxes, and the height of the box was such that when he laid an Olympic barbell with 45-pound plates, with the plates, not the bar, but the plates on top of the boxes,
right,
that was his starting position. Because he felt it was very important to be in exactly the right back lock. The back position was
important. So in other words, taking the bar off the ground and then getting into position was not advisable. He felt like you had to get into position and then grab the bar. So that meant the bar had to be exactly where you would start with the movement.
Exactly. It was starting, you know, body's erect, chest out, back arched, arch your lats, flex your lats, and then do it. And that was the way he did. And he did huge weights. I think he did, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm just working off memory here, so if I'm wrong, don't shoot me. I think he did 260 at a body weight of, it's been reported, 280. It's also been reported 300. But that's a huge curl, strict curl,
yeah.
You know, at any body weight, 260 pounds.
Wow.
Wow. But, you know, that's a real strength exercise. And, you know, I made the point earlier, a lot of guys are dismissive of curls. You know, you have curls for the girls, and, you know, they laugh if someone mentions the word curl. But, okay, fine, you know, curls for the girls, but curl body weight.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
if you think it's a sissy exercise, curl body weight. Show me.
Right. Right. I guess I don't think that people think it's a sissy exercise because it lacks strength to execute. I think that the penchant of building big biceps in the absence of building other body parts, which has become the standard. I mean, I see so many guys at the gym that their biceps are so much bigger than even their shoulders, and they miss the boat. I mean, this idea of having really big biceps is almost like somebody who has a freakishly big jaw or freakishly, you know, to pick a body part that's freakishly out of proportion with the rest of the body. And there's a lot of guys out there that I think spend a lot of time curling and abandon other important body parts, like building their shoulders, which tie into the curls. I mean, I see so many guys whose upper arms are too big for their shoulders. That frustrates me. I think to myself, you're a fool. That's like building a house, a 3,000 square foot house, and making 2,000 square foot the bathroom. And then leaving 1,000 square feet for the living space. It's like, what are you, stupid?
I was on a business trip to California once, and gosh, I guess this was about 10 or 15 years ago. And I saw like three guys that had just absolutely massive, huge, gigantic biceps.
Right. Three guys. They were all buddies, in other words.
Well, they weren't together. I mean, I saw them in three different places.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it was all on one trip, and that was all they had. It was like biceps, and the biceps were really big, nothing else. And I was like, you know, I was like, is this some kind of California thing? I mean, you know, it was really weird. But I saw in Louisville 2 days ago, half a mile away from my house, I saw a father and son walking down the street, and, you know, it's hot, so they had, you know, I think the son had like a muscle shirt and dad had a tight t-shirt or a golf shirt or something. And they both had really noticeable bicep development and absolutely nothing else.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, it was like, you know, are these guys weightlifters?
Obviously,
no.
Obviously, the father taught the son this.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that I see that a lot at the gym. I see a lot of guys who focus on their biceps. And I understand why. I was watching an episode of Sex and the City with Elisa a couple weeks ago. And one of the girls says something about, you know, everybody wants a guy with nice arms. So I guess arms are important to women. I never realized it. I got to be honest with you. And so I guess a lot of guys realize that and they focus on their biceps. But they focus way too much on their biceps and not enough on the other body parts that are above and below the biceps or even behind the biceps like the tricep. All right, let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Brooks Cubic. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com. Today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Guys, you need to get ready. Primordial Performance is having an amazing super sale, a summer super sale. 33% off the Andro Series products and up to 33% off everything else, plus free shipping on orders over $200. Go to primordialperformance.com. I've experimented with their Andro Hard. That stuff is very powerful, I have to tell you. I only took two caps in the morning and one cap in the afternoon. And you're supposed to take up to three caps twice a day. And this is before I took my layoff here. I'm going to start using it again. That stuff is very, very powerful. I've noticed amazing changes in my strength in just a couple of days. Go to primordialperformance.com today. Let them know Carl sent you. Always let them know that you heard about them on Superhuman Radio so they know the advertising dollars are being spent wisely. Brooks, let's talk about something else. Let's shift gears. We've covered real-world strength standards.
Sure.
I want to talk about something because we kind of got into it here a second ago without realizing it. But there are certain things that just really tweak me when I'm at the gym. One of the things is the guys who focus on their biceps. It does. It's like, come on, give me a break. It's like a guy who trains his upper body and doesn't train his legs. And in the words of Nick Nilsson, the mad scientist of kinesiology, he once said to me, those guys look like bodybuilders riding a chicken. I love that because they have chicken legs and big upper bodies. And so we talked about the guys who train their biceps. And if your biceps are bigger than your shoulders, you need to stop training your biceps. You need to start training your shoulders. And if you have no forearms, you need to start focusing on grip work because you need to have a proportioned body. Okay. Everything needs to flow together. I don't care if you want to be a bodybuilder or not. Marky Mark had a proportioned body when he took that picture for the underwear ad. That's why he looked so good. They didn't make him take that picture because he had huge biceps. He had big round shoulders. He had greatly defined pecs. He had a six pack. The guy looked great. Okay. So keep that in mind. You know what else bugs me a lot, Brooks?
What's that?
People who take their cell phones to the gym and have them on the gym floor while they're lifting, while you're lifting, and their phone is ringing, and they're taking calls. And my attitude is, look, unless you're a brain surgeon and there's a brain transplant, you're waiting for the donor brain to come in and you got 30 seconds to unfreeze it and get it in this person's skull – you know, you probably can leave your cell phone in the locker.
Well, I know someone who agrees with you, Carl. And not me, although I do, but I know someone else.
Who?
Ivan Abagiev.
Who is he?
Bulgaria's most renowned weightlifting coach.
Right.
Led teeny tiny little Bulgaria to an Olympic victory over the Soviet Union in 1972. He coached, I don't know how many world and Olympic champions, just amazing. 79 years old now, he's living in the U.S., and he was featured in, of all places, the Wall Street Journal.
Really?
Yeah. Featured, I think it was yesterday, article titled, Heavy Lifting, No Rest, Candy, The Bulgarian Method. People can Google for it and find it on the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason I mention this is he was supposed to be the toughest coach in the world. He had his lifters training, you know, 8 hours a day over and over. Many of them broke down under the effort. They called him the butcher. Okay. So very severe training. So here he is. And they're talking in the article about how he speaks to a bunch of strength coaches in the U.S. Okay. And he says, okay, here's how all you strength coaches in the U.S., no matter what the sport, here's how you ought to be training your kids. And one of the things he said that the Americans are doing wrong, not just weightlifters, but all athletes, everybody in the weight room, is, guess what? Cell phones.
Having them in the gym, you mean, or having them in general?
Having them in the gym.
Yeah.
He said, coaches, you've got to ban the cell phone. Okay? And the response from the American strength coaches was, can't do it.
Why?
Do it.
Why?
One guy says, quote, you can't beat the snot out of these kids. They don't have the mental toughness.
You know what? Those kids won't have the mental toughness because of him.
This is a real interesting article to compare old school, old fashioned European ways of doing stuff to basically modern culture.
I'm sure the European kids are doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you were training for Ivan Abagiev, you would not be doing it.
And no, maybe no, no, no. I mean, that's what I mean is, I'm sure the European kids are able to train hard and put their cell phones away, but the American kids are not.
Okay. Yeah, we're in agreement there. So, you know, you're right in line with the Wall Street Journal, Carl.
There's nothing more irritating to me. And in my humble opinion, there's nothing more rude or what's the word I'm looking for when somebody is insensitive to other people? You know, just like
inconsiderate.
Inconsiderate. Thank you. Thank you. There's nothing more rude and inconsiderate than somebody, guy or girl, I don't care who it is, who brings their cell phone, lays it on the floor. You know, they're benching, the phone rings, they got to reach down and grab it, and they're talking. It's like, look, I mean, you're in there to train. I'm in there to train. I don't want the phone distracts me. Even though the ringtone isn't my ringtone, and it's not like, oh, I thought that was my phone ringing. It's like you're in the middle of doing something and a phone rings. It doesn't matter whose phone it is. The natural reaction is to think about answering it or who's going to answer it. It's distracting.
It's absolutely crazy. And I mean, that's a way to tell serious people in a serious gym from
the
wannabes or whatever you call them.
It's not even a, you know what? How about I start bringing other things into the gym with me that I can't live without? You know what? Maybe I'll bring my hot plate in with me in a frying pan, and I'll start frying my post-workout meal while I'm squatting. It's like, you know what? I mean, give me a break. Leave the phone for 1 hour. Leave the phone in your locker, in your car. Turn the ringer off and let people get your voicemail, for crying out loud.
If you can't devote workout time to working out, you shouldn't be working out.
Yeah. That's me. That's how I feel, and I think that those of you out there who are bringing your phones into the gym with you really need to rethink it. It's not a good thing. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you. It's like give yourself some time to enjoy your workout and leave the phone in the car. The world's gonna go on. No one's gonna die. Everything will be in place right when you get back. Get your phone back. Everything will be right where you left it. And any emergencies that do occur, You'll handle it once you're finished lifting. Give yourself that 1 hour. Like in church, you wouldn't bring your, we're talking about lifting being like church. The priest would run you out of church if you brought a phone in with you and started ringing during mass. Everybody in the church would look at you like you have three heads. Like, what are you, an idiot? That's how you should be. It should be sacred. You go in there, you work out. That's it. Okay. I just wanted to get that off my chest. All right, Brooke. So you have a new blog post coming out tomorrow, which is Thursday. Today is Wednesday, for those of you listening to the podcast. And you are going to cover the strength standards for the squat and the deadlift.
Absolutely. And what people need to do, go to the website, brookscubic.com, sign up for the daily emails, and you'll get an email message about 20 hours from now. You'll get an email message, and that email message will have all the information about the standards for the squat, the standards for the deadlift, and, you know, I just shoot them out every day. Lots of good information, keep you up to date on a lot of stuff that we're doing. We've always got new stuff going at Dinosaur headquarters, and it's a good, good way to stay in touch.
Okay, so go to Brooks Cubic, KUBIK.com, and click the blog link and read the Dinosaur Training blog today. Brooks is keeping the flame of physical culture alive. I believe that in the next decade, physical culture will become the mainstay, and all the splinter factions that separated will come back and join in, and everyone will understand what physical culture is. We need physical culture as part of our anti-aging protocol. You cannot resist the ravages of aging and disease unless you're constantly building new muscle on your carcass. You heard it here. Muscle is metabolic currency. Just the way you save muscle, you need to constantly be putting investments in your bank account of muscle by getting into the gym. Brooks, thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Hey, Carl, my pleasure, and hope you get some rest and come back strong tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to be training every day, whole body. I'm going to kick, you know what? Like Dr. Cassandra Forsythe said, metabolism doesn't slow down, people slow down, and your metabolism follows. So I'm going to be giving my metabolism a kick in the ass this week. So there you go.
Good deal. Good deal. Just don't listen to a cell phone while you're doing it.
No. Believe me. People get mad at me. I was calling you. Where were you? Well, I was in the gym training. I don't take my phone in the gym with me. I just don't. The only time I took my phone, that's a lie. The only time I took my phone in the gym with me was when Elisa and I were dating and I was still living in Phoenix. Because of the time difference, a lot of times I would be in the gym and she would be up and around and she would text me, and I wanted to get her text, but I kept the phone on silent. So
that is a sign of true love.
There you go. There you go. Okay. All right, Brooks, okay. Thanks a lot for being on the show, brother.
Sure thing. Take care. Bye.
And then I also want to thank Dr. Peter Rouse for coming on and answering some of your questions that you posted about pet food, pet diet, and supplementation. And we have another great show for you tomorrow. I promise I won't be as tired. We'll see you then.